You see that mountain over there? One of these days, I'm going to climb that mountain. That's the beginning of an Alabama song, Mountain Music, which my first night in college, I was in a seminary for guys thinking about the priesthood, so I went to bed early. I thought my first day, I'm going to hit the ground running. I'm going to be off to a new chapter in my life, and I must have fallen asleep, but all of a sudden, I heard this song, and it was in my dreams for a while, but it was Mountain Music, and somebody, I figured, well, they must be having some fun on campus and having a few root beers. And anyway, they played that same song at least 20 times. And every time it was a little louder, a little more raucous, a little more incomprehensible. Anyway, anytime I hear that song, I think about that night. Turns out the next day it was the guys right next door. They were in the seminary too. Anyway, moving along. The idea of mountains is always a symbolism. If you hear that in the scripture, a mountain is the closest place between heaven and earth, so there are a lot of famous mountains, especially for us, Mount Calvary, where God's only begotten Son gave his life to unite heaven and earth, man and God, sinners and a Savior. And of course, it's Mount Tabor today, where the Transfiguration takes place, Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, the ascent of Mount... there are different things. The ascent of Mount Calvary, right? Of course, these are the things that are symbolic. And the apostles are asleep, right? Which is the spiritual sign of human beings that we're just kind of slumbering through life. We don't always recognize the things that are most important. We get caught up in the things of the world, but we're not of the world. We're passing through. We're not here very long. We're meant to be future citizens of heaven. And then they're awake all of a sudden because they have this experience. And then they want to stay, like, let's just build some tents. We don't have to go back down there, but God said we do. It's for this that he came into the world, to save his people. He said, in the world you will have trouble, but do not fear. I hope that we've had that experience, that we are somewhat spiritually awake, because now our mission is to help others by the life that we live and the testimony we give, just by who we are. It's not that we have to have the right speech or the right homily or the right, no. We just have to be what God meant us to be. And that, of course, would only be possible if we let him do in and through us what he alone can do. Before he sends us out, the first step of reform is always right here. I'm not going to go out and change anybody or save anybody. The first person to work on is me, is you. That's what Lent is about, calling us closer now to this fire of divine love. How we use our things, for example. Last night I was talking to the folks about... give food to the hungry and drink to the thirsty. And then our homeless friend was here again this morning. He always kind of frightens me because he's right outside the door. 2 weeks ago, I would give myself a C-. This morning, maybe like a B+. I had him come right on in, and he used the bathroom. And thanks to Sally, we got him a cup of coffee, a little breakfast. And then I went over to the house, and I got a big box of my chocolate bars I was saving for Easter. Man, that was hard. But I gave it to him anyway, and I gave him some clothes, and just so you don't think there's going to be a homeless guy out there looking like a priest, I do have other clothes. And but the idea is that, can we share the things that we have? Can we just give away? I mean, there's so many opportunities to be our brother's keeper, to see Christ in each other, and the way that we help them. And it feels good to do that. That's the way God designed us. I don't know if you have ever participated. The Catholic Relief Services have these rice bowls, and the bishops are really encouraging because there's a lot of need right now in the U.S., and maybe more of us that could assist. They're available after Mass, or maybe the Good Shepherd Shelter. They're always looking for people like us to help, to staff it at night, to maybe you feel called, or the Holy Spirit says, I could give that time, which is another barometer of how we're doing, of how much time we give to the Lord, to his people. Do you ever stop what you're doing and say a prayer? Do you ever stop in the church and just... Because the way we pray, the way we use our time, people notice that. They're affected by that. They see it. It's a witness. It's what we do. When I come into the church and somebody's here praying, that's a beautiful thing. And I don't come to church to be seen praying, but sometimes you should see a priest praying. I think it's edifying. And sometimes I should see the people praying because I, too, am touched by that, moved by that. So how we use our things, our time, and what's in our heart, right? The famous pitcher, Sandy Koufax, was a very devout Jew, and so he missed a start in the World Series because it fell on the Sabbath. Guess what was in his heart? God. For him, God was first. Nothing else supplanted that. That's a challenge for us, and it's the invitation. we miss Mass because other things crowd God out? That's something we really have to work on, and we have to ask God for the help that we need. Well, he's going to send us out into the world. First, he wants to start here, but then go out there. And how are we going to make a difference? The Holy Spirit is the one who really fans in the flame the faith that we have. The Holy Spirit is like the wind in the springtime. The wind wakes up the trees. The Holy Spirit kind of drives us, inspires us, helps us to not to worry about, well, I don't have enough, I'm insufficient. It's not just about us. It's about what God can do in and through us. One of my favorite prayers, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. I pray that probably dozens of times every day. And the world needs us to be true to our witness. You know, Holy Name is growing as a parish, and that's because of you. You've let the Holy Spirit work through you. And because there are more of us, we're having some parking issues. And I hope that we'll be good neighbors, you know. Make sure you're careful about where you park and smile at the people that might call you in. And if you get a ticket, that's my fault because I told the cops to give you a ticket. Anyway, the idea is to, what we do here, we have to do out there because otherwise, how will they know? How are they going to know that God is good and kind and merciful and that he has a plan for them as he does for every one of us? Let the Holy Spirit do these things. One example in Wausau, when I first came, I went to a meeting on the east side at Resurrection, which, as you know, I rarely do, but the Holy Spirit had started St. Vincent de Paul, one of the great things happening in Wausau. And I was really impressed. And one of the members, who's a parishioner here, a few months later, he said, can I get up and give a little pitch? We need more Vincentians. Lots of people to serve, not enough of us to serve them. And so he gave his pitch, and I thought he did a nice job, but I think only one person signed up. But she was like a future Hall of Famer, MVP, and very impressive human being who made an impact on me and many others. Her name was Dawn, and she died of cancer on Wednesday. And she did an awful lot of good because she let the Holy Spirit work in and through her, and she'll be remembered a long time by a lot of people in this community. Let's let the Holy Spirit help us to be what he wants us to be his voice, his heart, his hands, his service, all the things that he can inspire in us so that we have the right words at the right time, and we can be witnesses of what we believe, like Peter, James, and John. They didn't stay on that mountain, even though they wanted to. They came down into a world that was resistant, a world that was afraid, a world that would take their lives, but even so, they died with peace. They died with mercy, forgiveness. They died as Christ had died for you and me. It's going to be a difficult task ahead of us. And, you know, the only concert I ever really went to, I was at the state fair because our band got invited to march. And afterwards, it was Alabama. I never got to go to many concerts. But you know how that song goes? Play me some mountain music like grandma and grandpa. It's probably a little early in the morning for that, but what I discovered about a concert is that the things of this world are really enjoyable until they end. And that's the ephemeral pleasure. That's the way things are. They're only as good as they last, like a bag of potato chips. But I've discovered that in God, the Holy Spirit, our faith, there's a joy that goes on and on. It's much more sustainable. It's much more believable. It's much more healing and redemptive. It brings peace and hope into a broken world. Let's receive that Holy Spirit so that we can leave this experience, Mount Tabor. Every Mass should kind of inflame us with a certain love, a certain experience of God who is real, and he's shown himself to us. We've heard his voice, behold my beloved Son, and we've received him. And what we've received, we have to give. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to stir up in us the fire that made a person like Dawn. Her life has a beginning and no end, and the impact of her life will go on and on. That could be true for you and me too.